Welcome to the Home Business Podcast with Richard Captain Henderson, publisher of Home Business Magazine, and Sherilyn Colleen, managing editor. This how-to show helps you successfully operate your home-based business.
Greetings and welcome to the Home Business Podcast. I'm Richard Captain Henderson, your skipper at Home Business TV.
And I'm Lynn, your co-host.
Let's cure for C and get underway. As a home-based entrepreneur, you are a leader. Even if you may not have direct employees, you are still leading a small army of contractors, vendors, partners, family members, customers, and more.
So how do we unlock the secrets to becoming a successful and effective leader in today's fast-paced world?
Our esteemed podcast guest today talks that change is so rapid that leaders must do much more than stay the course to be successful.
John Maxwell says that if leaders are not nimble and ready to adapt, they won't survive.
To help with that survival, John Maxwell has his new book, Leadership, 11 Essential Changes Every Leader Must Embrace.
John Maxwell has sold more than 30 million books in 50 languages and has been identified as the most influential leadership expert in the world by Business Insider and Inc. magazine.
So greetings, John Maxwell. Welcome to the Home Business Podcast. Say hello to our listeners.
Hey, it's great to be with you, and Richard and Lynn, it's great to be with you also. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Well, we're at 20 below, and you're in beautiful, what was it, West Palm Beach, Florida? Yeah.
70 degrees, sun shining.
Beautiful.
God's country.
Great. We'll be down there tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look at my flight. So, John, you've already written more than 20 books about business and leadership. How did you decide it was time to write this particular book?
Well, then, what happened really is I'm writing all the time. And so I'm writing books all the time. And I, sometimes when a book comes out, it may be it's in the incubator maybe for 10 years. I'm just working on it and keep playing with it until all of a sudden I say, this baby's ready to be delivered. And so with leaderships for about 10 years, I've been noting that the leaders that excel the best are the ones that move the fastest. They're agile, they're adaptable, they're flexible. And so as I'm watching the culture speed up and things going much faster, I decided now's the time for the book, because the book is all about how to adjust and how to stay in front, how to see before others see, so that you can, you know, do more than others can do. So it's all about strengthening and sustaining your relationship, which is based on being able to move fast. For example, I was getting ready to speak for a conference recently, and their theme was fast forward. And they said, what does that mean to you? I said, well, fast means fast. In fact, fast is faster than it's ever been before. It's never going to slow down. Once in a while, somebody said, well, I can hardly wait for things to slow down so I can just... you're going to die. The only way I know how to slow down is to be dead. So fast is faster, but forward is shorter. When I started off as a leader 45 years ago, you had a 10-year growth plan or a business plan. You had a 5-year mid-range plan, and 2 years was a short-range plan. Well, today, 2 years is a long-range plan. So forward is getting shorter all the time, and faster is speeding up all the time. And so leaderships is all about how to thrive in this very fast-forward culture. And I tell people all the time, I love sports. So I use sports analogies sometimes. Mm-hmm. Baseball is the same game, but every game isn't the same. Mm-hmm. And people don't understand that. They think, oh, it's baseball, and so therefore it's, I do the same thing every day. No, you don't. No. It's same rules, same field, but the game determines how you play it. And Babe Ruth said yesterday's home run won't win today's game. And leader shifting is all about stop relying on what you did yesterday to be successful in your business today. If you're going to be successful in your business today, you can't go on what you hit yesterday as far as a home run or a strikeout, a failure. It can't either one. You've got to be in today's game, and it's the same game, but it isn't played the same every day.
Well, I like that new word. I like new words like that, leader shifting. So can you better define what you mean with leader shifting? I think that has a lot of impact.
Well, it means that you change, that you shift. In other words, a leader has a path in which he or she runs on, but that doesn't mean that path is always the way to run. And I tell people it's good to have a plan, but it's even better to have a plan B and a plan C, because as you move, things unfold. We don't see everything on the front end. Vision is more clear as we get closer to it. Mm-hmm. And so in the beginning, we have this vision, but it's set on idealism. It's set on what we think. It's set on assumptions. And Richard, as you know, assumptions is the mother of all mess ups. And the moment that I assume something's going to happen, I'm already preparing to be blindsided. And so I say, don't assume anything. The only thing you assume is that what you assume isn't true, and that there's going to be shifts and there are going to be changes, and you got to be agile and you got to be flexible and you got to be able to, on a dime, stop and turn, adjust.
I like what you said about being ready to adjust and shift, because like when I was in the military, we had a saying that your plan is only as good until the first shot, and then you're constantly modifying your plan.
That's exactly what, after the first shot, you say, oops, this wasn't what I thought. And now the ability to shift, because here's what happens. When I start off as a leader, they would talk about the fact that leaders saw more than others saw. They talked about vision. Mm-hmm. Well, think about it. Today, more has been replaced with before. And the successful leaders today, they see before others see. And when you see before others see, you have a huge advantage. And leader shifting is all about seeing things before others see. So I talk about 11 shifts that I made as a leader. That if they know they're coming as a leader, they're ready to make those shifts a lot quicker. I wish somebody, when I was a young leader, when I was your age, Len, I wish somebody would have had a leader shifts book for me to kind of take off and have for direction, but I didn't have it. So this is a kind of a book that says, okay, this is your map, but I want you to know, as you start going down on this map, it's going to change on you a little bit, but I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to show you.
Kind of one of the key points you're saying is things change so rapidly now. The impetus for a leader today is to see that coming and get out ahead of it and guide his team, whereas before it might have been seeing the big picture. Now it's seeing that change coming or how you need to shift and leading your team in that direction.
Absolutely, and let me illustrate. I was with Gail Devers, who is the great track star, Olympic track star, most highly decorated, I think, Olympian in female track history, okay, for the United States. We were having dinner one night, and we were having a wonderful time, and I said to her, Gail, I think I could beat you in a 100-yard race. And she looked at me with disbelief. So what do you mean? I said, well, I think if you and I ran a 100-yard race, I said, I think I could win. And she was with her husband, and she looked at him, and she looked at me, and she looked at my body, and she was disgusted. And she said, you know, she no way can you win a 100-yard race. And so she's ready to leave the restaurant, take her heels off, go out front, and we're going to run a block. You know, I got it. Those competitive juices are going. So I got it right on that edge where I want her. And I said, now, Gail, let me explain something. I believe I could win a 100-yard race with you if I had an 80-yard head start. And she started laughing. She said, well, of course. And then I said, it isn't the fastest person that wins the race. It's the one that starts first. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you something. That's what leadership team is all about. It's helping the reader get started a little quicker than someone else, which gives them a huge edge in the business world.
Yeah, even if you get to the 20-yard line, that might give you an edge.
Yeah. What's funny, Richard, is I thought about the 80 yards throughout the dinner because I wanted to tell her this, and I really wanted to make it 70. I did. I wanted to make it 70, but I wasn't sure that I could do it.
You could do it.
She might be able to win on it. But I said on 80, this slow, fat body can get across there before she gets there. So I set myself up, obviously, for the win. But the key is, it's not speed who got started first. Well, I'll tell you who gets started first, the one who sees before others see. Mm-hmm. And the leaderships that I talk about 11 of them, leaders are going to go through them. I just kind of saying, you're going to come here to this fork in the road. I want you to know it. I want you to be able to shift really quickly so that you can keep going. And that's kind of what it's for. Mm-hmm.
So the core of your book focuses on 11 major leader shifts. One of the shifts is the improvement shift, shifting from team uniformity to team diversity. Now, what are positive effects of bringing diversity to a business?
Well, when I started off, I want everybody to think like me, look like me, act like me, and be like me. And then all of a sudden I realized we don't need any more of me. What we need is some people with different perspectives, different backgrounds, different knowledge, different experiences in their life. And what I determined was that in this shift, I needed people not to compete with me. I needed people to complete me. And diversity allows you to be a complete person. In other words, there's no leader that has all the tools, the resources, the experience, the gifts. And a team of leaders, if they are diverse, if they're different, same values, by the way, same values, same team, but very diverse in their perspectives and their thinking, that then all of a sudden, everybody helps everybody. So the way you can always tell you have a good, diverse team is, I walk into the room with an idea, and I share that idea with them. When I'm with a good, diverse team, they always make the idea better. Every time.
Yeah, I like what you're saying, because it triggers a memory to me that it used to be like you had your team competing with each other. And it was like, I saw that in the military, is throw everybody out and have them compete. But you're saying, dude, you know, to really leverage the value of diversity, you've got to have people working together so that they complete your organization by competing with each other.
Absolutely. So, Richard and Lynn, if you're on my team, the first thing we do is we begin to say, now, Lynn, you have this strength better than I do, or better than Richard. And Richard, this is kind of, you're better in this area than Lynn and I. And we kind of begin to understand one another. And so when we're working on something creative, we jump in. And every person's valued because every person has value. And the key to diversity is valuing people that are different than you. And the moment that they feel valued, there's nothing, there's not a greater compliment than to ask somebody their opinion. Well, when you ask somebody their opinion and they're diverse from you, they're going to give you something, they're going to show you something you didn't see, because we all have our blind spots. And so this going from uniformity to diversity, Liv, this leadership is huge, because if I determine that everybody has to be like me, if I'm an insecure leader, if I determine everybody's going to be like me, I'm going to miss a whole bunch of my potential, because all I'm going to get are thoughts that would be my thoughts. And that's not going to get me to where I want to.
Yeah, that echo chamber. Well, let's talk about one of those key groups that brings diversity, which is interacting with millennials. What are ways that leaders can create a collaborative environment between older generations and millennials?
Well, first of all, I'm asked that question constantly, Richard. When I do companies, I'm speaking. When we do Q&A, that's the number one question right now. And the question is always asked, they'll raise their hand and say, okay, here's the way they say, how do we deal with millennials? Yeah. And immediately I know they've got an attitude issue. I mean, okay, how are we going to deal with it? They think differently. They don't come to work on time. And da, 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 da. And they got this whole list of what they don't like about millennials. And my first thing is I tell them, you've got to change your attitude. Mm-hmm. First of all, millennials are going to be a majority in the workplace in just 3 years from now, whether you like it or not. So let's start right there. It's a fact. And Max Dupree said the first responsibility of a leader is to define reality. And so I'm helping everybody define reality. The millennial people are here. So instead of how do we deal with them, let's get a little softer. Let's get a little open. And let's ask ourselves the question, how can I connect with them? Because if I want to connect with you instead of correct you, there's a whole different value I place on this relationship. And so I say, go to common ground, because there's a lot of things that you all have in common. And go to where they are, not to where you are, and begin to start with valuing them. Because the moment they feel valued, now all of a sudden they're inclusive and they're included. Angela Arntz, who for years was the CEO of Burberry, a friend of mine, she's now with Apple. But when Angela became the CEO of Burberry, the business was going down. And the reason is because their clothes were not connecting with younger generations. And the first thing she did is she took her board of members that were 50 and 60 years old, and she kicked them off the board and made them advisory. And she went after 20 and 30 year old kids. And she said, you're the board. These guys are going to advise you, but you're the board, because you know where the kids are. You have thoughts and ideas that we need to hear from you if we're going to get back and connect with them. And she turned Burberry around. She turned it around because instead of dealing with millennials, she connected with them, and they connected with her, and they helped her really build that business.
So it sounds like coming in with an attitude of dealing, that immediately shows you kind of have a negative attitude about the whole thing. And you move that all to connecting, and through connecting is where you found common ground.
No question. And every time you get on connecting common ground, you're going to find similarities. And when you find similarities, that's what you build off of.
Right.
Now, John, we're all about fast, but you also emphasize making small improvements over time that grow you as a business owner. If there was one change someone could start making today, what would that be?
Well, okay. If I were to sit down with you over a cup of coffee, Lynn, and you said, John, how do I upgrade my life? I would say become intentional in your living. Become intentional in your life. You see, most people, they don't lead their life. They're not intentional. Most people accept their life. They're unintentional. In other words, they get up every day and wonder what's going to happen. And I would say to you that, you know, the most overrated phrase in the English language is good intentions. You know, well, they've got good intentions. Well, intentional living is taking good intentions and turning them into good actions. And intentional living is that bridge that takes you from I haven't done it yet to I'm doing it. Because you've got to become activistic. And leadership team is all about the fact that you're making these shifts and changes to get active so that you can get the results you want.
Yeah, I hear the term, do I think about this, intend the future. Intend the future to then kind of guide you where you want to go and just get away from drifting day to day. Any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I can. It's a very good term. And what they're really saying is get out in front of your life. Here's what you do. You give your best effort today. So you have these twin functions. I'm giving my best shot today because today matters. So I'm giving my best effort. And by the way, you've got to do it today because you can't make up tomorrow what you lost today. My mentor, John Wooden, used to tell people, he was a great coach at UCLA basketball. He used to tell his players if they weren't practicing hard in practice, he'd call them by name and say, look, I know you're tired. And my girlfriend broke up with me. I didn't do good on tests. And I didn't want to give me 60%. He said, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that tomorrow you'll make up for it. And you'll do 140%. Mm-hmm. He said, you can't do 140%. All you can do is 100. Nobody can ever do more than 100%. So whatever you don't give today, you leave on the table, you never get back. And so what I would tell people is be very intentional today to give it your best effort. But while you're being intentional today, look out into the future and see before others see of what's going to happen. So I'm intentional to give my best effort today, but I'm also looking forward to make sure I'm making the changes or the shifts I need to make to meet tomorrow effectively.
Let's a little bit about that goal. You talk, you know, most of us have a list of goals we're trying to accomplish and changes that we want to make. John, when you talk about the personal development shift, you note that growth is what actually helped you to become a better leader. What are some ways that we can accomplish growth over goals?
Well, first of all, understand that growth is more important than goals. I started off setting goals, but I realized that once I reached the goal, I'd say, now what's next? But if you are growth minded, you never come to the finish line. You never go to what's next because you're still expanding and you're still developing yourself and you're still in growth. So I tell people all the time, really there is no finish line. And when I was 27, Earl Nightingale, I heard him say that if you'll spend 1 hour a day every day for 5 years, you'll become an expert on the subject. Well, I was interested in leadership at that time, so I said, I'm going to do that. I'm going to spend an hour a day for 5 years on leadership so that in 5 years I become an expert. So I started this goal journey, and every day I'd say, well, I'm getting closer. How long will it take? Well, it'll take, you know, 4.5 years, 4 years, 3.5. I'm in a countdown. I think I'm Cape Canaveral, because I got this goal out here. But something interesting happened about halfway in this journey. I quit asking how long will it take because I was being changed inwardly by my growth.
Don't they say that life's a journey, whatever you want to go is a journey, but there's no destination?
Yes, what I would say is that if you are a goal-oriented person, you will put a finish line out there. And let me tell you when you put a finish line out there, when you cross the line, guess what? You're finished. But if your growth mindset, that finish line is always before you. You never get there. And it doesn't frustrate you because the joy of learning and growing and expanding and developing capacity is so much greater than the finish line ever would be anyway. Mm-hmm.
John Maxwell, this has been a great discussion on your new book, And Leader Shifting. Do you have any final points you would like to share?
Well, I'd just like to thank Home Business for letting me come and share with all the people that are watching. And I hope that I add value to you. I hope I add value to them. And I know that the Leadership book is a book that it'll be a great friend. It'll take them to a level in their leadership that perhaps they wouldn't go without it. So thanks a lot for letting me share.
I'm sold. We've got to start leader shifting. Well, John Maxwell, thank you for being such a great guest on the Home Business Podcast.
Thank you. My joy.
Yes, thank you so much for coming on our show. To learn more about John Maxwell and his book, Leadership, 11 Essential Changes Every Leader Must Embrace, visit www.johnmaxwell.com or our website for more information on guests.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Home Business Podcast. Share your feedback with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and on our website, homebusinessmag.com.
Visit the website for information on advertising. Subscribe to our newsletter. Please visit our sponsors. For more info, visit homebusinessmag.com or the expo at homebusinessexpo.com.
I'm Richard Captain Henderson saying anchors away.
We'll talk with you soon. Until then,
make it a great home-based biz day.